Thanks for coming. I'm gonna hopefully try not to bore you to sleep this morning here. That was kind of the point of the music to kind of get things going here. We're gonna talk about strategies for managing costs with a cost breakdown structure. I work for a company called EPMA, and we've had a few sessions here this week at the conference. Tom Henry right up here. Did anybody attend Tom Henry's session on wave planning? Was it yesterday? Okay. This guy's good. He had his crowd do a wave. I'm not going to make you guys do that, but hopefully you guys are enjoying the conference. And we've got a booth here. It's kind of back in the back corner on your way to the food. So feel free to stop by and chat and hang out with us. We're pretty cool folks for the most part. So come on, let's go. All right, just a little bit about me. Can you guys read this? Okay, I'll wait and give you a chance to read it. No, no, I'm not going to bore you to death with PowerPoint slides today. I'm going to try to keep it interesting, and hopefully you guys are going to learn something today too that you can actually go back and use. This is not this isn't going to be an hour and 15 minute long commercial where I'm trying to sell you something. I mean, let's be honest. I guess this whole thing is a three day long commercial, right? But I'm going to try to teach you some things here that you can actually go back and use, okay? And it's not going to be rocket science. It's not going to be something where you're going to have to get a team of developers to do this stuff. This is stuff that you'll be able to do yourselves in Microsoft Project. And if you have administrative privileges and you're using Project Server, you can even do some of this stuff in either your Project Server or your Project Online environment that you might be using. So this is me. I'm 41 years old. I just turned 41 almost exactly a month ago. This was me at my 40th birthday. I've aged a lot over the last year. I grew up in a little town up in northeastern Michigan called Mankato, Michigan. People from Michigan use their hands to show where they grew up. We drink things like this. We also drink things like this. Has anybody here had the pleasure of drinking Faygo soda? How awesome is Faygo? Oh. There you go. This one right here is my all-time favorite. So in Michigan, you see things like this, beautiful shorelines. You see things like this. Occasionally, you'll even see something like this. I actually owned like three of these. I mean, I didn't do anything like that to them, but I drive one of these now. I've owned one of these. I've owned three of these. I've owned six of these. This is the post office in the little town where I grew up. This is about as exciting as it gets there. Okay, I did things like this growing up, and this was my first computer. Rock on, right? I used to write programs and save them with this. Anybody do that? Yeah. Later on, I went to school for engineering at Michigan Tech, which is located way up there in the Keweenaw Peninsula. It juts out into the middle of Lake Superior. It gets a little cold and snowy up there in the wintertime, as you can see here. But we made the best of it. There's a winter carnival that they hold there every year, and all the kind of the student organizations on campus, and they have competitions. Where they build statues like this. It's pretty fun. I was an engineer, but not this kind of engineer. I was an electrical engineer. I worked with industrial robotics and conveyor systems, and it didn't take me very long to kind of get exposed to this stuff, right? Using Microsoft Project to get more organized and kind of do planning and scheduling and tracking of projects that I was working on. And it didn't take me very long to realize the horsepower available to me through the tools like SharePoint and Project Server, and now Project Online that we have available to us. This is really cool stuff, and you guys have been hearing about this all week, so I'm not gonna yammer on about that. I've co-authored a couple books on the topic, and I work for a company called EPMA. We're located in Houston, Texas, and we are a full-service provider of project portfolio management solutions, and we help our customers implement tools and do training and integration and custom development and all kinds of good stuff. And we're looking for great people. you know, we're growing and you know, we're doing something right. So if you love this stuff and you're interested in, you know, learning more about maybe, you know, working with a company like us, come see us. Anyway, if you want to connect with me, I'm on LinkedIn, Tony Zink. I'll show this again at the end of the presentation. And so here's what I'm gonna talk about today. Okay, I'm gonna tell you about this thing that that I call the cost breakdown structure. Okay, it's not, like I said, it's not rocket science. It's not anything really elaborate and sophisticated. It's something that you can do on your own, right in your project schedule if you want, or in your PPM system. We're gonna talk a little bit about what does it mean to do cost tracking inside a Microsoft project. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about, in case you're not familiar with how custom fields work in project. That's one of the kind of the constructs I'm going to be using to show you how to do this in project. And then I'll kind of walk you through the process of implementing a cost breakdown structure. And then I'll show you some reporting options, because, you know, the whole idea is to, you know, not just, you know, spend your life, you know, punching things into the tool. You want to get stuff out of it. That's the ultimate goal, but you have to feed the beast, obviously, to get that stuff out. But I'm going to show you some techniques for reporting on this stuff, and then we'll just kind of recap at the end. So the whole reason why we're talking about costs here is, you know, projects are not free, right? Are people free? You know, are we all here because we love it? No. No, we all get paid, you know, when we go to work, hopefully. You know, are materials and resources and things free? No. Okay. Now, not everybody tracks costs on their projects. Maybe you know, there's some other team, some other group in your company. Maybe finance takes care of it, or it gets punched into some other system. You know, your SAP or some other financial system. But you know, this stuff is not free. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how, if you're not already familiar, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how you can do kind of cost tracking right in Microsoft Project, right where you're tracking all the other stuff for your project. Come on, let's go. There we go. All right, so cost breakdown structure, what is it? It's basically a way of categorizing the costs in your project. Just like, or very similar to how we can categorize other things in our projects, you know, work with a work breakdown structure, a deliverables-based work breakdown structure, right, or WBS. Okay, that's the way of kind of creating a hierarchical relationship that kind of shows a breakdown of all the different things that we should be delivering on our project. Those of you who've used Project Server, some of you may be familiar with the resource breakdown structure that allows you to kind of categorize your resources into a hierarchical kind of a fashion so that you can see where do they fit into the reporting structure, and that can even be, you know, factored into your security model also, so that, you know, resource managers can only see the people that report to them, you know, something along those lines. But this is a way of hierarchically categorizing the costs in your project so that you can report out on those. And you can see where you're spending your money. We'll go through kind of a quick little exercise here where we'll do a little brainstorming on the kinds of cost categories that you might use on your projects. But these categories, you might be able to come up with them on your own because you kind of know how you want to track your costs. Or it might be that you get this information from finance. Okay, they might want you to categorize your costs in a certain way on your project. So they'll tell you what those categories are or what that, you know, structure should be, and then you can just, you know, put it into your projects. So, you know, just like I said, it's a way of categorizing your costs across your projects. You can export this out to, and, you know, kind of report on it. You can ship this information in aggregate over to other, you know, line of business systems, financial systems, and so forth. Rather than, you know, duplicating this information manually and kind of, you know, manipulating it in Excel, if you're tagging all this stuff appropriately right in your projects, then you can dump it right out and it'll already be categorized and aggregated, and you can, you know, do whatever you need to with it outside of project. So audience participation time. Who can give me some examples of some ways that you might want to categorize your costs in your project schedules? Capital versus expense, okay? Very, very simple example. I'm sorry? Labor, non-labor. Okay. What else? Expense across two or three quarters. Okay. So over time, like a time breakdown. Okay. What else? Any other ideas? By work package. Okay. Okay. Inside versus outside. Okay. Those are all really good examples. How about I like to use construction examples in you know, whenever I do training or whenever I do presentations, because a lot of people can kind of tend to, can relate to construction, like building a house. You know, there's a foundation and you put up the walls and you put the roof on and you put the siding on and all that kind of good stuff. So you know, the example that I'm going to show you here will be kind of construction related. But so in some of the things that you folks have already mentioned, you know, kind of fit into that. You know, labor versus non-labor, for example. And you can even break. So let's take that as an example: labor versus non-labor. Okay. You could take those two categories and you could further break those down. Okay. What kinds of labor? Internal labor versus contractor labor, non-labor things. I mean, when it comes to construction, there's all kinds of things you can break that down into, materials and equipment and you know, all kinds of things that you might need to purchase for a construction project. Okay, if we were talking about IT projects, okay, we might have labor, like we might have internal labor, external labor, non-labor things like software purchases and equipment purchases and things like that. So I mean, hopefully you can kind of see how you know you don't have to just keep it real simple, just a binary sort of a thing. You can take that and just continue to break it down and create this hierarchical structure. Okay, that's the whole point behind this being a cost breakdown structure. Who can tell me what this photo is of? Anybody? Bueller? What was that? World Trade Center. Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say that that's probably the North Tower, because the North Tower, they started building that first. This photo was taken in July of 1969. so they built the two towers kind of independently of each other. And the North Tower, I believe they started that in 1969, and people were moving in 1970, I believe. No, 1968. They moved in 1970, and then the South Tower, I believe they started that a year later in 1969, and they moved in like 72, I think. So yeah, that was a few years ago. So I like to, when I do cost tracking in projects, I think it makes sense to track your costs by associating them with the resources that you're using on your projects. Okay, we've got lots of different types of costs that you might incur on your projects. You know, labor, materials, one-time costs like purchases you might have to make, travel expenses, and so forth. Facilities and equipment. Okay, not a lot of folks track those sorts of things on their projects, but you know, oftentimes we do use them in some way, shape, or fashion. We oftentimes don't track them. I mean, even down to like testing labs and maybe even like conference rooms or pieces of machinery. Okay, those are things that, you know, those are types of resources that potentially have costs associated with them. Okay, nothing's free. Contract deliverables that you just have to, you know, pay for. Like, you know, you hire an overpriced consultant to do something for you, and you kind of you pay them to do it for you on your project. And when we track these sorts of costs in Microsoft Project, labor, it's really simple. As long as you're kind of planning out how many hours of work that needs to be performed, you put an hourly rate on that, and Project does the math for you. Super easy. Materials, similar sort of thing. You know, you kind of lay out all the different kind of materials, and for each type of material, you just put in there a per unit rate, and then how many units of those materials you're consuming, and again, Project does the math for you. Super easy. One-time costs and like contract deliverables, things like that are fixed price. There's a special type of resource in Project that you can use. It's called a cost resource. Basically acts as sort of like a cost bucket where you can dump money into whenever you have to purchase something on your projects. Facilities and equipment. Okay. Those are usually things that you have to schedule. Okay, so those are tracked very similar to labor or people resources on your projects. Hourly rate times the number of hours you're using that resource, and it does the math for you. It's real easy. So to do this in project, there's three types of resources available to us. Work resources, where you're basically scheduling and paying for their time. Material resources, which are like consumables, lumber, concrete, nuts and bolts, network cable, things like that, where you say, I need this many feet or this many yards or whatever of a particular material, and there's a per unit rate. And then there's this cost resource construct that Microsoft added into the tool a couple of versions ago, where, again, it kind of acts as a cost bucket. And you can come up with these, if you can think of these different types of like fixed cost type of resources that you want to track on your projects, then you can just kind of list those out as in the form of cost resources on your projects. And then whenever you need to incur travel expenses, for example, on a task, you know, you have to travel to the job site to see, you know, what the progress that people are making or whatever the case is, then you have maybe a travel expense cost resource that you assign to that task. And then it just acts as a bucket where you can drop your travel expenses in there. So, you know, the steak and lobster dinner and the Cadillac that you rented and all that kind of stuff, you know, you can dump those monies into that bucket so you can attach that to your project. Okay. Now, some folks are afraid of putting in hourly rates for people on their projects. And you know, it's, we won't get into the socioeconomic politics of, you know, why you should or shouldn't do that. I think inequality is a big reason why, you know, this goes down to an issue where, you know, people don't talk about what they make because, you know, I'm afraid that somebody's going to find out how much I make and somebody's going to be mad and, you know, whatever the case is, okay? Some people are afraid to put, hourly rates for people into their projects, okay? But you don't have to be, because what I end up seeing happen a lot of times with our clients is that you can go to finance oftentimes, and they'll give you a blended rate for a type of a person. You know, somebody in this role typically makes, you know, this as like a median, you know, and if you factor in, you know, your overhead costs and all that sort of thing, it's really difficult to reverse engineer that back to see what any particular individual makes, okay? So, you know, there could be some hurdles there as far as, people being afraid to put those sorts of things into their projects, but if you do it right, there's really nothing to worry about. And there's a certain amount of control that you can have over, you know, who has access to this stuff once you put it into your project or once you put it into your system if you're using, you know, like Project Server or Project Online. Okay. Big part of the construct that I'm going to use to show you how to set this up is custom data fields. Okay. How many of you folks are familiar with creating custom fields in Microsoft Project? Okay, a good portion of you. Good. For those of you who aren't, basically it's a way of tagging your tasks and your resources and your projects with special attributes that are not built in. Okay, every task in your project has a task name and a start date and a finish date and you know, potentially like work hours and costs and so forth. Every resource in your project has a name, what the date that they're starting on the project, the date they finish on the project, sorts of different attributes that describe them. That stuff is all built in. But if you want to track other types of information for your tasks or for your resources on your projects, then there's this construct of custom fields that you can create. Okay, so, you know, for example, there's no built-in location field. There's no built-in status field in Microsoft Project, but there's a construct in there where you can create it if you want so that you can track those additional attributes if you need to. You know, same thing for resources here. If you want to track, you know, where did you find that resource, or you know, what cost category they belong to? That's the CBS that I keep yammering on about. Then, you know, again, that's what you can use custom fields for to you know, attach extra attributes to these things in your projects. So this is the construct that I'm going to use to tag all of the resources in my project with a cost category. And then we can use that to classify all of our costs and report out. So here's the steps that I'm gonna suggest that you go through if you want to implement this on your projects. Okay? So we start off by configuring our work and material resource cost rates. Okay? So that's two of our three resource types, right? We've got work, material, and cost resources. Cost resources don't have rates. They're just buckets. But work resources have hourly rates. Material resources have per unit rates. So put in those rates for all of your resources that you're using on your project. Okay? Then identify the necessary cost elements or cost categories. Okay? Sort of like that exercise we kind of went through a few minutes ago. Either think about how are you going to want to categorize or break down those costs, or you go to finance maybe and have them give you a list of what those categories are, and then we can put those into our custom cost breakdown structure or CBS field that we're going to put in our project. Then you go through and you tag all of your resources with their appropriate cost category or CBS value. And we'll assign them to tasks in our projects, and then we can report out on that in various ways that I'll show you a little bit later. Okay, so far so good? Yes, sir.
Can you secure some of the rate information by using RBS or content security?
To a certain extent, yeah. So the question was, can you secure the cost information with RBS or some other sort of security? And yes, you can to a certain extent. Okay. Now, the one person who is going to be able to see those resource rates, though, is going to be the project manager or the project planner or the scheduler, the person who's working inside Microsoft Project. Okay. If they can see the resources, they're going to be able to see those rates. Okay, but pretty much everybody else who doesn't use Microsoft Project, if you're using a PWA, okay, you can create views and you can use security in there to hide that information from them. Anybody else? Any other questions so far? Conceptually, what we're talking about here. All right, rock on. Time for a demo. Okay, switching. All right, cool. So this is a project schedule that I've already built in Microsoft Project. This is a little construction project. Again, I like to use construction examples sometimes in my demos. And so I'm going to show you. Actually, hold on here just a moment. I had a filter applied. Let me remove that filter. I was getting ready for my demo here. Okay, so here's our construction project. Okay, we've got several different tasks. It's not a huge schedule. It's only 163 lines, but it'll give us an idea of how this stuff works. I'm going to go to the resource sheet because that's where we work with our resources, or at least that's where we set them up and look at them in our project. So here's a whole slew of resources that are being utilized on this project. Several of them here, 73 of them. You can see here that I have several work resources. I've got several material resources. I have some cost resources that I've slapped in here. And for any of these work resources, I've put in an hourly rate for all those work resources. You can, if you've got the standard rate column exposed or field exposed in your resource sheet, you can just type it right in there, just like Excel, and just bang, 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 bang. Otherwise, you could double click on that resource and go into the resource information dialog box and go to the cost tab, and this is where you can put in those costs. There's even five different cost rate tables here, A, B, C, D, E, where you can put in up to five different costs or rates for this particular resource to use in up to five different situations. So, the example I usually give for this is, if this person is doing work like kind of at the home office, there's maybe one rate, but if they have to go up to the job site, then there's maybe a different rate because there's travel involved or there's danger pay or whatever the case is. But so this is where you can put in your hourly rate for your work resources. And I just, you know, I've already gone ahead and done that all the way down here. For material resources, it's very similar. there's a slighter, a minor difference here. With material resources, there is a material unit that you're going to want to put in there. So it varies depending on the material that you're using. Some materials, you'll measure it by the foot or the meter or the ton or the yard, or it's just, you know, each, like electrical boxes, we're going to use 100 of these, and they cost, you know, 25 cents each or a dollar each or whatever the case is. So you put in those units. That's the how you're going to measure these materials. And then you put in also the standard rate for those guys. How much do I have to pay for each one of those units? You can do that. And if those columns, again, are exposed right here in your resource sheet, you can just type them right in. Or you can go into the resource information dialog, go to the cost tab, go to the general tab, and that's where you put in your, you can also put in that material label. And then the cost tab to put in the rate. Like I mentioned earlier, for cost resources, there is no rate. Those are just buckets. So in this example here, we're anticipating having to purchase some doors and hardware. We're going to have to purchase some windows and hardware. We're going to have to purchase some building permits and a furnace and an air conditioner and so forth. You know, those don't have rates associated with them. Those are just things we have to shell out some money for. So they're just going to be in there in buckets. You can attach those to the tasks in your project and just dump a dollar amount in there for those guys. So it's pretty straightforward to set up the rates for all your resources in your project, assuming you know what they are. When I set this up, set up this demo, I actually went out in online and I did a little research and I kind of found out, you know, how much is fencing costs, how much is gravel costs, and so forth. And I put these in, but you know, hopefully you don't have to do some of that legwork. Maybe somebody in finance can tell you what that is. You know, especially when it comes to these resource rates. You know, hopefully they can give you a blended rate that you can feel comfortable putting in here. And, you know, if the PMs happen to see that, it's okay. You know, they're not going to find out what Sally, you know, what her salary is. Okay? So the next step is setting up this cost breakdown structure. Now that we've got rates on all of our resources. And these resources are already assigned to the activities in my project here. If I go ahead and kind of blow this all out here and show you the detail, you can see here that I've got people assigned to, you know, all these different tasks in my project. Already done that, don't have to bore you with that. But let me go back here to my resource sheet. We have to set up this cost breakdown structure. Okay. This is going to be a custom field that we're going to set up in project. All right. So for those of you who have done this before, we're all good. Those of you who haven't done it before, this will be a little lesson for you. I'm going to go into the project ribbon up here and click Custom Fields. This is where we can manage all of our custom fields within a project. Now, excuse me, if we're working solely in Microsoft Project, let me say that differently. This is assuming that you're just working on your own inside a Microsoft Project. And either you're not using Project Server or Project Online, or this is just something you need to do on your project alone, and it doesn't affect any other projects. Okay, if this is something that you want to do across all of your projects, and you're using Project Server or Project Online, then this is a slightly different process, but the same basic concept where we're going to set up these fields in Project Server, rather than doing it locally in your project schedule. Okay. And I'll give you a peek at that too, in case you've never seen that before and you want to see it. But regardless, I usually like to set up custom fields. In some cases, I like to set up custom fields locally here inside of a project anyway, so that I can kind of play with it and test it out without affecting anybody else. And then once I've done that and I got it to, especially when I create a calculated fields where it's got a form. You got a field here with a formula behind it, and it's referencing other fields, and it's doing calculations, and it's maybe displaying graphical indicators. I like to test that out in a local project before I throw it out there in the server where it affects everybody else. So at any rate, this is the custom fields dialog box where we, you know, where we can go and set this stuff up here inside a project. There's task, resource, fields. There's different types of fields that depending on the kind of information you want to store in the field, you'll have to pick that type of a field here, whether it's a cost field or a date field and so forth. I'm going to go with, in this case, an outline code field because I'm going to want to set this up with a hierarchical structure. So maybe I'll pick an unused outline code here. I'll rename it and call it cost breakdown structure. Structure. I know you guys love watching typing. And then I'll go into the lookup table here, and this is where I'll put in those categories. And this is where I can indent them also to kind of create an outline structure. So maybe we've got labor and non-labor. And for labor, let me kill that. Okay. And then maybe for labor, we've got various labor categories like employee labor and contract labor and so forth. And I can take those fellows there and I can indent them, and now we're already, you know, we're creating an outline structure here. Non-labor, okay? Maybe we've got materials, maybe we've got equipment, maybe we've got travel, and so forth. And we can indent those folks there. Why are these guys red that I've indented? Anybody tell me why? I'm sorry? Because they're over-allocated. Nice try, but no. Not assigned anything, no. I indented them so... Well, you're partly right. It is because I indented them. Yes? Code Mask. What's your name? Trisha? Check out the big brain on Trisha. Yes, it has to do with this thing called a code mask. Okay, what the heck is a code mask? All right, so up here at the top of this dialog box, there's a section that's collapsed. Yes, sir? Pardon me? Oh, I didn't hear the word code mask. Oh, okay, sorry. What's your name?
Sarah.
Check out the big brain on Sarah. All right. So yeah, there's this thing called a code mask. Basically, what this tells you, what you're doing with the code mask is you're telling project how many levels are you going to allow in this structure that you're building. Okay? So it was fine. Red in project usually means something's wrong, something's bad, right? And it was fine until I indented those guys. Because our code mask, when I started building this field, the code mask is only allowing for one level of values, and nothing deeper than that. Okay, so I'm going to edit that code mask, and each row in this table here basically tells project. It corresponds to an outline level in the structure that we're building. So it was already allowing for one level. I need to add a second level in here. And you can even specify here whether you want to allow numbers on each level or uppercase letters, lowercase letters, or any kind of character. You can specify how long of a value you want to allow in that. Basically, it's a way of enforcing a structure in your outline structure. Okay. All right. Great. So since I allowed for that second level, now the red goes away. Fantastic. So real simple example there. And if I drop this column or this field in here, cost breakdown structure, now I can simply go down here and say, okay, general management, that's the labor. Project management, that's or employee labor, perhaps. Employee labor, scheduler, you know, maybe that's, you know, employee labor. If I were to go down here a little bit further to maybe where some of my materials are, fencing, that would be, you know, materials, gravels, materials, and so forth. Okay. Real simple example, but you get the idea? I've actually already created, just like any good cooking show, I've already created a a cost breakdown structure in here, a more elaborate one. As you can see here, it's a few levels deep. You know, we've got labor and materials and equipment purchases and, you know, equipment rental and so forth. Again, kind of using the construction example here. So this is going to vary depending on the kind of work that you do, the kinds of projects that you're participating in or managing. But this is a way that you can, not just one level deep, but you can go as many levels deep as you want to categorize these various types of costs. And then you can slice and dice and really start to have some fun, because reporting is fun, really start to have some fun looking at slicing and dicing your costs on these projects. Okay? All righty. Let's switch back to here we go. So far, so good? All right. These are just some screenshots in case my demo didn't work. So I was just, you know, there's your resource sheet, and come on. You know, go into the cost tab to set up the rates for these various types of resources, work resources, material resources, and, you know, setting up the cost breakdown structure field, and, you know, tagging the resources with that field that you've created. Okay, so once you've got all your rates set up, you've got resources assigned to tasks, and you've got them all tagged with the appropriate cost category in the cost breakdown structure, okay, we're going to want to get that stuff back out. We're going to want to report on that somehow. So there's various alternatives for reporting on this information. In Microsoft Project, you can just use some of the built-in resource usage views to do some slicing and dicing. You can use the cool new dashboard reports that are in Project 2013. And if you're using PWA, we know whether you're using Project Server or Project Online. If you're in PWA, then there's a few different options there for doing some reporting on this stuff. So back to the demo. I told you guys I wasn't going to bore you to death with slides. I hope you hope you're doing okay. And we're back. All right. So let's start. Let me do a little cleanup here. Was that the one? No. Hey, where are my CVS values? This isn't awkward. Let me just go back to my nice clean desktop here and and see if I've got the right one open here. I think it's this one. Yeah, that's the one. Pardon me? Well, that was the one that I created in, you know, to demonstrate this one here, right? But I didn't, I could have sworn I had these pre-populated in the other CBS field. Pardon me? Well, the drop-down was populated, but I could have sworn I had them populated, you know, for all the resources. That's all right. Let me go and open up another project from my project server. I am connected up to a live project server environment out in the cloud, where we've got all kinds of fun things to look at out here too. Let's take a look at maybe this project here, Upgrade SAP Financial Module. Let's see what that one has to store in store for us here. Okay, this is a look at that. It's only a 24 task project for upgrading SAP. I like to use realistic examples and my demos. All right, let's take a look here at our resource sheet. Whoops. Okay, we've got a handful of resources here. Let's see what our CBS looks like. Okay, we've got some CBS values populated there. And this is the enterprise CBS field. Okay, the example I showed you earlier was how to create a local CBS field within a project. But this is an enterprise project, and this is out in Project Server, and this is being governed by enterprise custom fields that basically can apply across all of your projects. So if I were to just kind of quickly jump back over here to my PWA environment and take you behind the curtain, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, and go into my custom fields and lookup tables. There's a CBS field here that basically applies across all of the projects and resources in my environment. And it's used as a CBS lookup table, which is down here. And if we go and take a look at the values that are in that lookup table, it'll be very similar to the one that I showed you that was pre-configured in project. And then if I go over here to my resource center where all of my resources sit, I can see here that I've already tagged all of my resources in my enterprise resource pool with a CBS value, basically a cost category. And they're even grouped by CBS here. If I scroll over, I think over here on the right somewhere, yep, there it is right there. Nope, that's RBS. CBS is a little bit further over to the right. There we are. So every resource has a CBS value already populated. So any project where I use these resources will be able to take advantage of that cost structure that I've set up. So, if you're inside a project here and you just want to kind of do a look at a little manipulation, what the kind of costs are being attributed to each in each category on this particular project, then, we could do a number of different things in here. Right here from the resource sheet, for example, right here where we can see our resources, you could put in a cost field. Okay, so there's the cost that's being contributed to the project by each one of these resources. And if I wanted to start getting fancy here and maybe group these by CBS, it's very easy to see right here on this project that we've got labor costs, employees, and management. Okay, $62,000 contributed to all these different employees, $26,000 contributed by Persona and Todd here. So wherever you use these resources, whether they're people, whether they're materials, facilities, equipment, what have you, as long as you've got those resources tagged, you can start kind of grouping and slicing and dicing here very easily, right on your project. Another thing that you can do right here inside a project, regardless of whether you're using just standalone project or whether you're using Project Online or Project Server, is you can start taking advantage of these dashboard reports that are new in Project 2013. They're super cool. How many of you have played with these in 2013? Okay, a small handful of you. The rest of you, if you can put your hands on Project 2013, these are really cool reports. I mean, it blows away anything in any of the previous versions of Project. I remember back in the day, back when they had these reports that came built into Project. And then they came out with the visual reports. That was quite a bit better. It was quite an improvement over those old printable reports that came in Project. But the dashboard reports that are now in Project 2013, they rock. So. There's several examples of some built-in reports here that you have access to. There's a cost overview report, and I'll just show you a couple examples here. Resource overview report. There's a whole bunch of these that come built-in. They're really slick. I'm going to create a new report though. that we can use to kind of show the breakdown of the various types of costs in our projects using that cost breakdown structure that we attach to our resources. So I'm just creating a new blank report here, and I'm going to say costs by CBS, maybe. So here's a new, blank report, and you can see that this is a very nice kind of a drag and drop canvas that we can work on. I'm going to start by adding a table. So I'll, I can rearrange this, kind of put this over here on the side here. And as soon as you click on it here, this is very similar, behaves very similarly to pivot tables and pivot charts in Excel. Okay? Is there anybody here who is not familiar with pivot tables or pivot charts in Excel? Fantastic. Because I was going to say, if not, time to go back to Excel school. So I can just simply go over here into my field well on the right-hand side, and I can just tell Project, what fields do I want to show over here? And we'll start up here at the top with are we going to look at task information or resource information? I want to look at resource information, because that's where all my costs are attributed to in my project. So now I've got a list of resources, and let's see here. I want to look at the cost for each resource, so I'll add that, and you can add in like actual costs and remaining costs and so forth. Those fields are in there. We got start and finish in there also, but I don't need those, so I'm going to go down here and there they are, finish and start. Okay, we got a nice clean little table here, and now I want to group them by, where are you? Wait, do I need to add CBS in here? I think so. Cost, date, other fields. Did I pass it? Oh, there it is, custom. Okay. Moving right on down here. Okay, where are you? Boy, this was a well-prepared demo, wasn't it? I'm sorry? It is a resource field. Nope, it's not outline code 1. Wow, where are you? Yes, I did. Well, I'm connected to the server already. Wow, this is good, isn't it? Yeah, when all else fails, right? Okay. I'm just going to give this a quick try right here on my construction project, because Okay, report, design, add a table, resources. Don't need start or finish. We're going to add in cost. It's not in baseline. There it is, custom. No, not there. Okay, it's not a custom date field.
Boy, you know, it's probably just something completely stupid, because I've done this 100 times. But now that I've got, you know, all of you staring at me, of course I'm gonna choke, right? We'll give it a try. Say that again. Right. So let's take a look. Okay, see, I could have sworn that those were populated before. And there they are. There's the CBS values. Ghost in the machine, I guess. So, okay, back to our regularly scheduled program already in progress. So back to our report and new report. We're going to call this costs by CBS. How are we doing on time here? Okay. We're going to drop in a table. Resources. We're going to add in costs. We are going to remove our dates. Finish and start. Custom. Those are custom cost fields. Okay, so we've got that. No more dates, duration, flag number, work. Ha-ha. Okay. So there had to be a group already created for it to show up in the list. And I don't know why it wasn't there before. This is the same project. I just reopened it. But there it is. And I'm going to expand this out to, instead of just showing outline level one, so just total project cost at the top of that outline structure, I'm going to drill in and say maybe outline level two. And, you know, kind of do a little formatting here. And you can sort and, you know, do some other fun things here. But you can see here, once you've tagged your resources with those cost categories, okay, project does the rest for you. If I want to add a little chart in here, because, you know, it's nice to have little visuals. Maybe a pie chart. And I'm going to kind of manipulate this pie chart here a little bit. We want to look at cost rather than work. There we go, there's our costs. And I want to group them by, okay, it's not there yet. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay, we got cost. Group by, yep, there's our CBS grouping. And then, of course, again, it's just showing you the pie right now, just the total cost, just to make a solid pie, because we're only looking at that structure at outline level one. But if I want to start drilling into outline level two, there's our breakdown at the next level down in our structure. Equipment purchases, labor, logistics, and materials. If you want to, you know, go in one level deeper, however many levels deep your cost breakdown structure is set up, you can go down as many deep levels as you need to see the breakdown that you want there. And then, formatting and layout and so forth. But all that aside, this is how you can set this stuff up in your project schedule just using the dashboard reports, okay, to get that information back out. Now, out in PWA, okay, I started to show you this a little bit earlier. We've got all of our resources out in our enterprise resource pool tagged with a CBS value. So as long as we start using these on our projects then and assigning them to tasks, it's going to automatically categorize those costs based on that structure that you put in there. So just as an example here, if we go into the project center where all of our projects are, and I pick one of these projects and take a look at it, okay, that was the SAP module that we were looking at earlier. There's various ways that we can look at this cost breakdown. So here's just our schedule in PWA. Let's see what kind of views we have available to us out here. Assignment cost by CBS. We have resource cost by CBS already set up here. So this is very similar to like the view that I had that I showed you earlier in project in the resource sheet. Okay, if I flip back over here to the resource sheet, I grouped these by CBS, and you can see that breakdown for this project. And on each of these summary rows here, it shows you the rolled up cost, the total cost for everything in that category. And this is just basically the same way of looking at that, just only out in PWA where other folks can see it too. And you could put columns in here or fields in here like the total cost contributed to each resource, the baseline cost, cost variance, actual cost, remaining cost, whatever cost fields you want to look at, they'll all be categorized. Okay, this case here we've got management and employee labor. Okay, other projects, it really just it's going to vary depending on what kind of resources and the kind of cost categories you've got set up in your system here. If you were to go out to the resource center, okay, my resources are already categorized here, or they're already grouped based on the CBS cost breakdown structure here. So you can see how you can expand and collapse. This particular view, though, I don't believe has the cost column in it. Let's just go across here. Nope, no cost column. So, but that's easy enough to take care of. Let's see, resources by CBS is what we're looking at now. I'm going to go just to kind of tweak this view. I'm going to go behind the curtain again as an administrator. PWA settings, manage views. That is a resource center view. Resources by CBS. And I'm just going to add the cost field in here. I passed it. No, I didn't. Okay, where are you? Let's take another stab at this. Resource center. Oh, I'm sorry. Resource assignment. Sorry. Need to go one level deeper. So I'm going to select all these resources. I'm going to expand everything. Select all the resources. And go to resource assignments. This is where we can look at the costs on a resource by resource, assignment by assignment basis. And you can start to There we go. You know, take a look at these roll-ups as deep or as high level as you want in your structure. Project costs, labor, management, employees, and so forth. And again, you can see here whatever kind of cost fields you want to on these, this is across all projects, not just one project. But if you want to, you know, group these by projects also, you can just make sure that that project field is in here. And they'll be broken up by project also. So you can see here, you know, resource name, project name, you know, CBS. It's all in there, and you can start slicing and dicing, sorting, filtering, grouping, and so forth. You can, you know, you can dump this out to Excel and just have a blast with it. Okay? So a few twists and turns aside here, we managed to make it work. Okay? Questions? All right. Again, the screenshots that proves that it does work. I had them, you know, this is a resource sheet in Project Pro where I had them, of course, all the resources tagged by CBS here, and then you could see the costs grouped into whatever category you want. This is an example of a report, the dashboard report that I had built in Project, and where the costs are broken down by all the different categories, and you can, you know, show that graphically in lots of different ways with some of the really cool charting tools that are available in those new dashboard reports. PWA, you know, you could this is a project view where, you know, we're grouping grouping within our project all the costs into the different categories that we've got the resources tagged with. And this is out in the assignments area where we just were. And there's another example of just grouping the resources by CBS and the Resource Center. Okay. So just quick recap here. If you want to implement this in your projects, okay, put in your rates. If, and again, when it comes to people, you know, personnel rates, maybe check with finance, see if they can give you a nice blended rate with the overhead costs and all that kind of included, so you can't reverse engineer that very easily to see what somebody makes. Okay. Put your rates in, either in your project or if you're using you know, the web environment, put those rates in against all of your resources, your work and material resources in the resource pool. Identify what are those cost categories. Maybe finance will give you a list of categories that they want you to use to break down the costs across your projects. Configure that CBS field either in your project locally or in your web environment, okay, Project Online or Project Server. And then that'll be enforced, or you'll see that regardless of where those resources are used across all your projects in your system. Okay, tag your resources with the appropriate CBS, assign them the tasks, and then start building views and reports and things to get that stuff back out. You know, once you get the structure set up, Project does all the heavy lifting and does all the slicing and dicing for you, which I think is really cool. Okay? So just wrapping up here, I'm from EPMA. Come see us at our booth. Hang out with us if you got more questions about this or if you'd like to pick up some. We've got some really nice, like, quick reference cards for Microsoft Project 2010 and 2013, nice full-color glossy cards. You can talk to us about, you know, downloading some things from our website and whatnot that we've got available. Check out our blog. I'm Tony Zink. You can connect with me on LinkedIn if you're interested. Any questions? I sang "Sweet Home Alabama." I did too. "Sweet Home Alabama" and "Plush" by Stone Temple Pilots. Yes, sir.
So do you currently use FPGM tools for budgets? You know, you have approved budget, EPC, actuals. I'm trying to see how I can set that up in Project Server using this EPM structure.
Okay. So the gentleman up here said that you know, you track budgets on your projects. Do you use budget resources?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so if you want to use the CBS to break down your budgets, which is I think what you're asking, okay, you could do exactly the same thing here. Just come up with a structure that maybe you want to use to categorize your budgets, and attach those values to your set up some budget resources on your projects and start attaching those to your projects. And as long as you've got those budget resources tagged with the appropriate cost categories, again, it'll just do the breakdown for you. So you're still using the same sort of construct, only you're just using budget resources rather than non-budget resources, which is what I demonstrated with here. But they're still resources, they still have a CBS attached to them. So you should be able to just break that down the same way. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've done that quite a bit. I have set up a CapEx sort of a field. Now, oftentimes when I set up a CapEx field, that ends up being attached to the project or even individual tasks within the project, because some tasks within a project are capitalizable and some have to be expensed. So that tends to be attached to the tasks rather than being attached to the resources. Unless you can say across the board, this resource is always a capital resource, or this resource is always an expense resource. If you can do that across all of your projects, across the board, regardless of where that resource is used, then you can attach it to the resources with a resource field. But if it's going to vary depending on the project or depending on even the activity within the project, then that's where you're going to want to attach it instead of the resource. Okay? Other questions? Thank you.